Hallelujah. My wife and I went to Springfield, Missouri, to attend the 100-year anniversary of the Assemblies of God in the States, and also attend the World Assemblies of God Conference. We arrived in L.A. and we checked our bags through to Denver because we found out the day we left. Well, we found out the time we actually left that we had two tickets, not one. And the first ticket allows us to check our bags to Denver. Then we have to take our bags out and recheck them to Springfield, even though it was the same airline. Now, a simple islander will think that's, but somebody complicates the thing, so you take it out of the same airline and recheck it back to the same airline. Except that when we got there, you take a train to where you get your bags. So by the time we get there, the flight that we were supposed to be on was already closed and gone. So we tried and they said, well, we'll fly you there tomorrow, but there's no, all the flights tomorrow are full. And but there is a flight in the evening at about 6:30 that you can take. And so we said that was fine. And then they said, otherwise we could fly you to another airport about 160 miles away from Springfield. I said, that sounds like a good possibility, but nobody wanted to come and pick us up from that airport. So as she was fiddling with the thing, she said, oh, something has happened. There are vacancies now in that flight in the morning. I said, thank you, put us there. And so she did. And gave us a hotel voucher and told us where to catch the shuttle. So we went out there and I rang the hotel. At about 20 minutes to 9, it was 8:40. 25 minutes past 11, we took a cab. I rang them about 10 or 11 times, and they said the shuttle will be there in 3 minutes. It's the longest 3 minutes on the planet. I don't think the Americans are educated about time. And anyway, we took a cab, which cost more than the hotel. And by the time we got there, the hotel was closed. So we checked in another section of the thing, which is a totally different hotel, and got a bed, and then following morning we flew over to Springfield. It was good to be there, and people came from all over the world, and hearing the stories of the goodness of God and the stories of the persecuted church. The president of the Assemblies of God, the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Iraq, got up and shared. And you think you are having a hard time here. We don't have a hard time here. We just get inconvenient and call it a crisis. But it's amazing that there's no airs about him. They know that their lives could be taken tomorrow. And they live with the normality of that every day of their lives. And never waver from serving God just because they could be killed tomorrow. Their heads could be cut off. I was going to show some of that on the screen, but some of you will not have your lunch. When the heads of Christians are chopped off and they're just like fish heads in a supermarket. These are human beings made in the image of God. And then the widow of the superintendent of Iran got up and shared. Her husband was killed, martyred. Went out to visit a family, did some shopping, and they couldn't find him, and they found him with 16 stab wounds. So she was there, the widow was there, with her son, and her son interpreted for her. It's a moving thing. Those people don't have to say much, and you start to cry. Because you know that to them, their faith costs something. And then we had the superintendent of Jordan. I had a breakfast with him. And beautiful man. Funny man. But he still knows. His wife's from Syria. Married his wife, his Syrian wife. And showed pictures of the city where his wife comes from. There's just nothing there but masonry rubble. And they live with that. And we are grateful to God for where we do live. And he said, I said to one of my mentors, I said, when they start plugging out your fingernails with pliers, I will deny Jesus. His mentor said to him, when they do that, there will be grace. Grace to handle the pain. Grace to handle the difficulty. Grace to handle martyrdom. Are you okay? Sometimes our greatest bondage is our freedom. We need to value what we have and understand that part of the family are suffering and we ought to pray for them. Uplift them in our prayers. Hallelujah. But it's nice to be home. I came across this and some of this is not new to some of you, but to the majority of you, it'll be something that is different, something that is new. It's called the paradox of our times. The Bible has a prophetic stream, a black river and a white river. It's darkness and light. Right from the beginning of time, the Bible says, darkness covered the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovers over the water. And God said, let there be light. So you have this darkness and light going through the scriptures. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness covers the people. And you see this going through. The enemy comes in like a tide. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I come to give you life. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. God's agenda is not a conference. God's agenda is not a teaching. God's agenda is not a sermon. God's agenda is a person. God's agenda is a man. Hallelujah. And the paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. We have wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. We have more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. We have more knowledge but less judgment. We have more experts and yet still more problems. We have more medicine, but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions, but we have reduced our values. We have talked too much, loved too seldom, and hate too often. We have learned how to make a living, but not a life. We have added years to life, but not life to years. We have been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We have conquered our outer space, but not our inner space. We spent millions trying to clean up the air, but we have polluted men's souls. We have split the atom, but not our prejudice. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. We have become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of big men but small character, steep profits, shallow relationships. These are the times of pursuing world peace but huge domestic warfare. More leisure but less fun. More food but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce. Of fancier houses but broken homes. It is time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stock room. A time when technology can bring a letter or a photo to you in a moment. And you can choose either to make a difference or just hit delete and forget about it. Are you okay? What is happening in our world? We have planes falling from the sky and they can't be found with all the technology that we have. Yet we can trace a cell phone anywhere on the planet and find it. The worst atrocities against human beings are totally ignored so long as it happens in a Muslim nation and by Muslims. Yet we have a world siding with terrorists against a sovereign nation trying to defend itself. And sometimes even the church sides with the terrorists. Does. If I tell you the names of some of the great Christians that went to Palestine to protest against Israel, it'll shock you because you read some of their books and you hear some of their sermons. Let me say something about Israel. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, salvation is of the Jews. Jesus was born a Jew. Jesus will remain a Jew forever. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the man Christ Jesus is a Jewish man. He will always be Jewish. Are you okay? Christians are being murdered every day. Christian children are beheaded. And no one takes any notice. And yet when we smack a little kid for misbehaving, and yet something slightly offhand is said about a Muslim, and the whole world media hops on it to defend the Muslims. Do we hate the Muslims? No. Jesus died for the Muslims. As much as he died, they need salvation. They need Jesus as much as we do. We love them. We pray for them. Hallelujah. There are 100 million street kids in the world today. 100 million street kids. There are 1 million kids that enter the sex trade every day of the year. If you're not careful, some of them could be your children. Hello? 30 billion US dollar profit is made from human trafficking every 12 months. That is more than the economy of New Zealand. You say, that can't be right. The economy of New Zealand is broke. 30 million profit is profit. We are broke. $1.25 billion people are ready to die today for their false gods. What about the church? What about the Christians? What about us in New Zealand? Are we ready to die for our God? Hello? No wonder the Muslims say we'll win because the church don't even believe their own message. We could feed the world's hungry twice over with our leftovers. Knowledge is increasing. Written knowledge increases over four times every single day. Knowledge increases four times today than yesterday. We are an overload informational generation. Hallelujah. Yet, this book has the answer. And the wisest man that ever lived said this. What was is, what is will be, there is nothing new under the sun. Old man, Pastor Jack Hayford, I know very well, said this. Everything is changed, but nothing is different. Everything is different, but nothing has changed. What is the answer? Because there is an answer. What is the answer? The answer is so obvious to all of us who know the Savior. The answer is the good news of the kingdom. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to him who believes. Hallelujah. Whether you're Maori or European, whether you are an executive or a laborer, the moment you believe in Christ and the good news of the kingdom of God, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You lay hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. According to old Jack, this is what he said. And Jack is not silly. He's probably one of the sharpest brains I've ever met. I thought Derek Prince was sharp until I met Jack Hayford. I mean, he's sharp as sharp as sharp. My wife doesn't like Jack. She said, man, he talks about 15 things and then he'll hang them in the air. And by the time he gets to the fourth thing, I've forgotten what he said in the first. And he just pulled them down. And he's just amazing, man. His mental capacity is enormous. But this is what he said. The church in the West has Christian universities. They have academics. They have PhDs coming out their ears. But they have no power. The church in the third world are not educated. They don't have universities. But they have the raw power of the gospel. The Bible says the power of the gospel is to anyone who believes. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Are you okay? Are you hungry? Hallelujah. Because when you're hungry, we'll finish. Well, when I'm hungry, we'll finish. Hallelujah. And I believe part of the reason why is because in the West, we try to explain the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But all your explanation is not going to demonstrate the power of God. Nicodemus understood the law to the letter. And yet, when he came to Jesus at night, he came as a man who was religious, well qualified, with 5 PhDs, and he can teach the law and understand the religious system. He knows about Jehovah God. And he said to Jesus, we think you're from God. In fact, we believe you must be from God. Because no one can do the things that you do. Even though we know the God that is written in the Torah. Hallelujah. We can't do what you do. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you don't get to heaven because you study theology. Some of the most educated people, according to the scriptures, that are educated in the Bible, are not going to heaven. Because you don't get born again by studying the scriptures. You get born again when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Are you okay? In the third world, they don't explain the gospel. They just believe it. they just decided, we'll believe it. And miracles, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that are educated. Now, there's nothing wrong with education. I've got 2 theology degrees. Don't you tell me I don't want education. I'm probably more educated than you. But nothing in education can give you power but believing in God. I come from a family of very, very highly intellectual academics. So don't tell me I don't value education. But if education was the answer, we will have knowledge and be raptured. But we have degrees and no sense. I'm not angry. I was just talking. Hallelujah. In the third world country, they don't explain the gospel. They just demonstrate it. They just decided to believe it. That's why in a third world country, they can take up an offering of 200 million that no one in the Western world can take an offering like that. That's not a first world country. That's a third world country. How can he take an offering like that? They just decided to believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, over 12 years ago, they redefined what a mega church is. And they redefined it because so many churches were 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. I mean, I talked to Dr. Moen at the conference. We had supper with him and his wife. And he's the superintendent of India. And he said to me, so how many people live in Wanganui? I said, about 40 plus thousand. He said, they're about the same people that come to my church. So the missiologists redefined a megachurch over 12 years ago, that a megachurch is a church that has 100,000 members. That means there's no megachurch in America. There's no megachurch in England. There's no megachurch in Germany. There's no megachurch in Australia. There's no megachurch in the West. We've just got mega dollars and no megachurch. So education is not the answer, and dollars is not the answer. But if you go to Korea, if you go to South America, do you know in South America, out of the ministry of one man, 24 million people are in the Assemblies of God. Out of the ministry of one, 24 million people are in the Assemblies of God. Now figure that out with your Western educated brain. Figure that out. And these two have been to that man's church. Hallelujah. In fact, these two were taken by Yonggi Cho to supper when they went to Brazil. Now that Korean guy, I mean, when he retired, his church was about 1 million people in one church. I mean, it was over 20 years ago, he had 860,000 people in his church. He had more people in his church than taxpayers in Auckland. So they redefined what a mega church is. And it's a church that has 100,000 members. I mean, I go away and speak to conferences about 3,000-4,000. And I come here and you look like a home group. And here's me thinking, we are doing well in Wanganui. You look like a home group when I come back. You know, punches your balloon. Hallelujah. Clearly, therefore, the answer is not in education, even though education is great. And it's not in finances. One of the most well-educated men who has 5 doctorates. You think, man, well, that's all right. When I was working in Christchurch, I was taught by a math teacher. His name was Malcolm Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham, if you're listening to my message, I don't know if you're saved or not, or if you're still alive or not. But I was taught by Mr. Cunningham maths. And he was 27 years old then, and he had 2 PhDs. And he's in a Christchurch young man. Hello? So this guy has 5 PhDs. Now, 3 of them are earned, 2 are honoraries, but he's still, I mean, he would think he'll be educated. What do you think? Are you right? This is what he said. Most millionaires are high school dropouts, and the PhDs count their money for them. Don't blame me. I don't have a PhD, even though I got 2 degrees. He's got 5 PhDs. And he said, dropouts at high school are multimillionaires, but PhDs look after their books. The answer is not in education. The answer is not in finances. But the answer is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to whom that believes. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, as in the days of Noah. That means what God was doing in the days of Noah, He's doing right now. Is that fair? As it was in the days of Noah, so it is going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So what God was doing in Noah's day is what God is doing today. What was it about Noah? Hallelujah. Well, first of all, Noah found grace. You know what? Every one of us in this auditorium has found grace. You are saved by grace through faith. If it wasn't for grace, you would not even be saved. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. God said to Noah, it grieves me that the planet that I make is full of violence. Let me ask you a question. Is the planet full of violence? Nothing new under the sun. But Noah heard from God. Let me say this. It's not your job. It's not your salary. You need to hear from God. You need a word of the Lord. You need a word from God. You need the word of the Lord. And God said to Noah, build me a boat. Where? In the backyard of the school grounds. Hello? Build me a boat. And Noah said, what's a boat? God said, it's something that floats. Now today you can build a boat because you've seen one. But Noah had never seen one. Hallelujah. So he built a boat so big. I mean, it took him 120 years to build it. About the size of 4 rugby fields put next to each other. How How many know that's a big boat? Huh? That's a pretty big boat. That's a big dude. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits wide, 3 decks, 1 door, 1 window. And every single one of those measurements speaks of something about your life. Hallelujah. But what amazed me about Noah is this. When Noah built a boat, now, how many know we talk about the building of the house? What's the 3 main important ingredients of a house? Foundation, structure, covering. Now, Noah built a houseboat. It had a foundation, it had a structure, had a covering. Remember what we said? If the foundation is correct, if the structure is correct, if the covering is correct, anybody that comes into that house feels safe. Anyone that entered Noah's boat felt safe. Hallelujah. But this is the thing that I wanted to get home to you. Noah built the boat. It was a labor of Noah and his sons. If we're going to build this boat, it's a labor between the fathers and the mothers and the sons and the daughters. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. If you're a young person, don't ever think that your parents are stupid. Because by the time you think that, you will have a child who thinks you're stupid. Hallelujah. Fathers and sons, everything that ever is ever and will ever exist is a product of father and a son. And every time you find fathers and sons, you find the Holy Ghost. You know what it says? I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. Otherwise, I'll smite the earth with a curse. So when we turn, when parents' hearts are turned to their children and children are turned to their parents, whether it's physical or spiritual, we can build. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. That building. It was great looking at the conference. Some of you probably thought, well, I'm not going to the conference. But it was fantastic to see everybody. Many hands make light work. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, parents and children, working together. There is unity. God will command a blessing as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from half our sins. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Why? Because we do it together. When they mocked Nehemiah, they said, who are these feeble Jews? Even a fox going up what they built will just smash their wall. The Bible says, next to so-and-so, next to these families, next to this hapu, next to this fanau, in front of them, at the back of them, everybody working their part of the wall, and in 52 days, 52 days, they built it. Why? Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. The Bible says, everybody make a declaration. Let us arise and build. And when they build as one, the miraculous, the darkness will just have to give way. Why? Because when you walk in, you know, light never retreats. Every time you shine the light, it just moves forward. Hallelujah. And when we are one, there's nothing that we can't do to the glory of Him in whom we have to do. Are you okay? So they built. And on, they went to Alamo for a funeral. And they came back from the funeral. And they went into the ark. And an unseen hand moved that huge door and shut the door of the ark. And then it started to rain. The Bible says, God opened the seals of the deep and opened the windows of heaven. So water came up and water came down. It was a perfect storm. You know what Noah was singing? Sailing on the sea of His love. Sailing on the sea of His love. Free, free as a dove. Sailing on the sea of His love. The violence, the water, the flood that killed everybody saved Noah. The flood that destroyed everything was the very flood that saved Noah. Why? He had prepared. He had done. He had obeyed. He had walked by faith. Most of all, God gave him grace. Don't resist the grace that God gives to you in your generation. You are alive today by God's grace. If God knew you could not handle the flood, you would have been born on the 13th century. But you are born on the 21st century because God knows you have it in you to be able to stand the flood. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. Have a look at Ephesians. I've got 6 minutes. And I'm getting hungry. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 16. That He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend the ark with all the saints, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses understanding. God said to Noah, the length is 300, the width is 50, the height is 30. Three floors, one door, one window. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he had the ark in mind. That you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the depth, the height, and the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be glory in the church. Hello? Hallelujah. Are you all right? And God said to Jeremiah, in the midst of everything going wrong, He said, Jerry, what can you see? What are you laughing at? He said, Jerry, what can you see? Jeremiah said, I can see the blooming of the almond tree. God said, you've seen well. Such is my word. I will stand behind my word to see that my word performs. God will perform his word on our behalf when we see things correctly. God said, what else can you see? He said, I see boiling pots. You know, you can choose what to see. If you're looking for boiling pots, guess what? All you'll ever see are boiling pots. You'll see this problem, that impossibility, you are going to see boiling pots. It's not saying that there were boiling pots, and there will always be boiling pots. But Jerry saw the almond tree. What is the blooming? The fruit is coming. Harvest is near. Hallelujah. What can you see? Can you see the blossom? Or can you see walls? Can you just see mirrors? Are we a colony of the kingdom, or are we a social club? Are we a battleship, or are we a cruise ship? They both sail, but they got two totally different agendas. Let's arise. Let's do it. For the glory of the one who gave heaven, that you and I might never make it to hell, but see his face forever and ever. That we may fall in love with him over and over, over and over, over and over again. Lift up your heads when all these things begin to come to pass. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. There will be boiling pots, but there are almond trees blooming. Choose to see the right thing. Because when you see the right thing, you will do the right thing. You will say the right thing. You'll accomplish the right thing. In Jesus' name. God bless you.